So, you know, yesterday we were giving, Rami was giving us background on kind of the state of Nigeria, and we talked about Boko Haram, and we talked about LGBT and the law, and that, I want to return to that. So, yesterday you were saying they haven't promulgated the law, they haven't published the law.
Yeah, right.
And what is it, why have they not published the law? I mean, I know that, you know, the name you talked to, it's called the...
Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act 2013.
But it actually just outlaws homosexuality.
Yeah, right. And same-sex relationships. Not just the marriage, but relationships that are same-sex, it outlaws it. And it also outlaws a lot of other rights, the right to associate, to express, to advocate. And then all of those rights, it allows it in the name of same-sex marriage. Like I was telling Sean yesterday, Nigerians are not looking at the law, they are looking at the title. And so when the title reads same-sex marriage, it's not something that many people are able to wrap their heads around it, even in other developed nations of the world. So people are not looking at the collateral damage the law was passed to that the collateral damage that the law has led to. We are only carried away by the title of the law. And so what it has done is stir up some hate crimes against persons of different sexual preferences in the country. A situation that before now wasn't there. Like I said, sexual differences have always been with us in Nigeria and Africa. We've lived with it, we've accepted it. It might come with some social stigma, but then it's not something that the people will go out of their way to want to harm someone or to express hate or all of that. But with the law that was passed and the coloration of cultural value, a Western thing that was plastered on it successfully by the government, you don't have both state and non-state actors, even communities that have before now lived with others, go out to put them in harm's way. And I was telling them of the recent incident in Gishiri. It's a village on the outskirts of Abuja. We have about 18 young men lived, worked, you know, with the community. And they just woke up one night after the law was passed and decided they would uproot them from the community. At about 2 a.m. or so, they were able to like round up about 14 of them, the villagers, you know, molested them, assaulted them, and battered them. After breaking into their homes and, you know, so then handed them over to the police. And what the police do was take them in again, the same persons who were, you know, whose rights were violated, and further detained them. And so it was next day when lawyers allowed had to go to the police station to ask, what crimes have these citizens committed that after being assaulted and battered, you're detaining them again? In what name? We have a constitution that says you are innocent until you are proven guilty. The acquisitorial kind of jurisprudence. But even at that, just because someone is labeled a lesbian or a gay, but that's what the law has cost in Nigeria. But like I said before now, that didn't matter at all. It didn't matter. In fact, in some Nigerian cultures, like the Igbo culture, women do marry women, even if it's for a different reason. For example, you know, in Africa, men can have more than one woman as a wife. And so if a woman is married to a man and she feels she can conceive for either health reasons or whatever reasons, she can go out there and marry another woman for her husband to have children with. Or you know, when she feels she's getting old, she's not into sexual activity no more, she can go marry a younger girl for the husband to continue to have sexual activity with the woman. So that's a same-sex marriage, strictly speaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then
can I just ask, what? Because this law, you say that, you know, before the law came in, like, it wasn't a problem. But why did they bring in the law?
Good question. Why did they bring in the law? And several reasons have been given for why the law was passed. The first reason that was given is that there was a time Nigeria hosted what they called the International Conference of HIV and AIDS, ICAO, or something. And you know, we have the vulnerable population, even as regards HIV and AIDS. And men sleeping with men is deemed to be one of such group of populations. And so when that was hosted in Nigeria, a the issue of men sleeping with men came up, Nigeria actually said, hey, look, we do not have men sleeping with men in Nigeria for whatever reason. And so a group of young men were there, and they said, hey, no, we're here. We're here. You can't say we do not exist.
Mm.
And so the government felt like that was a kick in his face. And so the law was passed to, you know, kind of, that was the beginning of the process of outlawing homosexuality or same-sex relationships. And then again, at Nigeria's last Universal Periodic Review, which happened in Geneva, the one before the last one, that was, I think, in 2009, our external affairs minister, what you call it, the foreign secretary,
mm-hmm.
went to Geneva and said, hey, we don't have gays in Nigeria. And so they had to back this up with the law,
right.
For whatever reason.